Welcome to Energy Talks, a regular podcast series featuring expert discussions on power system testing, data management, cybersecurity, and important trends in the power industry. My name is Scott Williams from the podcast team at Omicron, and I will be your host. Hello, everyone. When we think about virtual reality, most of us probably picture immersive gaming or maybe a futuristic tool for architects to walk through a building before it is even built. But today, we're taking those headsets straight into the field, specifically into the high-stakes world of electrical power protection relay systems. Testing these systems requires precision and focus in complex digital energy grids. My guest in this episode is on the ground performing protection relay tests and training others to do the same. He is the founder of a company that focuses on secondary systems such as protection, control, and automation components in distribution grids. But as if performing tests and training for his customers is not enough, he is looking at how a new level of technology can be layered onto that work. Because he loves to experiment, he's been trying out virtual reality glasses during protection relay tests in the field to see if they can change the game for protection engineers. We're going to find out about his hands-on experience, which applications show the most promise for virtual reality glasses, and where he sees this trend heading into the coming years. So without further delay, I welcome Andreas Rauwolf, the founder of Grid Experta Rauwolf Etech. He is based in Germany and a true expert in secondary systems. Andreas, thank you for joining me for this episode of Energy Talks.
Hello, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here with us. Andreas, to start with, could you tell our listeners about your journey as a private consultant for digital energy grids? And what specific services do you and your company provide to the industry?
Yeah, absolutely, of course. Well, I'm roughly about 20 years in the business of distribution grids. I started as a developer, software hardware for electronics built into medium voltage switch gears. And roughly 5 years ago, I did the step to make myself self-employed. I created my own company. It started only as consulting, and nowadays it developed into a full company, and I'm basically busy 90% of my time with protection relay testing. I'm offering training about basically the electronics and software that is needed for intelligent grids, but mainly it's really about protection relay testing nowadays.
Very good. Thank you. How can our listeners find more information about your company and the type of work it does?
Yeah, sure. There's different channels you can reach me. There's, of course, my LinkedIn. There's a YouTube channel called in German Grid Experte, in English Grid Expert. And of course, there's my webpage, grid-experte, like with an E at the end for .de for Germans, or Rauwolf, like my last name, -consulting.com.
Very good. We'll provide those links in the description for our listeners. Andreas, you work extensively with smart grids. What are the biggest challenges you currently see in transitioning traditional protection schemes into these digital environments?
Basically, I would see nowadays, I love to say, keep it simple, keep it stupid. Especially, I feel sometimes here in Germany, we love to overcomplicate things. So there's lots of standards, there's lots of documents, there's lots of additional documents describing what needs to be done. And the chain is long of the people who need to implement all that, starting from the planner, going to the one who is building up the station, who puts in the electronics, the protection relays, and the communication modules. And at the end, somebody has to wire according all those documents and standards. And in my personal experience, this is at the moment a little bit of a struggle to get everybody on board. This is also why I do the trainings, to bring in as many people as possible to that state of knowledge we need in this field. Because if the protection relay tester at the end comes, the work is done. And in that state, I have a look at the relay or at the station. I have to say, sorry, guys, I can't pack and go. This is no fun for anybody in the group. So we need to do the work before. I would love to see a more simplification of what we are asking for. That is not possible. We need to train as many people as possible.
In that context, when you're doing these trainings, are you actually training teams of engineers to perform these tests, or are you performing the tests for them?
I would say most of my trainings are neither nor. They are trainings for people, contractors, for example, who are delivering these substations or secondary substations in this case for builders of solar plants, of wind farms, of big industrial customers. The utilities itself, they have good people, they know what to do. But there is a big market for these private stations, and there we need to back up people with more knowledge, and that is a big part of it.
So for performing protection testing, you've been using the Omicron CMC. And which CMC model have you been using?
Since last year, I'm using the CMC 500. Before that, I've been working with different models, CMC 356, 300, 256, 430.
Wow, with the whole line throughout the years. Have you seen any differences in the evolution of CMC technology with all the different types of devices you've been using?
Thankfully, the basic technology stayed the same. That's good for us. Especially with the CMC 500, I see advantages, especially in the handling, especially when we are outside on the field, not in a classic substation with a roof over my head and AC and heating in winter. But we're often outside in a compact station. There's dirt, there's mud, there is wind, there's rain, there's everything. And the CMC 500 is way more compact than the models before. And for me, my personal biggest advantage is you can put it upright. It's not like built like a lab device. It's really made to be used outside in the fields. And that's a great advantage.
In general, how has Omicron's protection testing technology influence the reliability and safety of the grids you consult on?
I think in different parts, of course, there's the reliability itself of the devices. Omicron, I would say, and you guys would agree, is the market leader. It's basically you have no discussion outside with such a device. Sometimes somebody asks for the calibration certificate and that's it. So that's very easy to use it. In my personal opinion, the main advantage is the universe. First of all, if you use the software and if you set it up correctly, you get the message when something is wrong. And then, of course, the search starts to find out where. If you pass through all the tests, you can be sure this device works correctly. That's one thing. And the other thing is that the universe of Omicron around these devices, whatever weird protection relay you're finding, you can contact the guys in Omicron and they will find, they have an adapter for the sensor. They have a piece of software that fits this relay and that helps a lot and prevents that we are doing something in the gray zone. It gives a perfect 100% solution. And the last thing I really want to mention is the support. The support from you guys is beyond. It's really crazy. You can call on a Sunday and you will get somebody who knows, who is not answering, yes, please send an email. We will come back to you in a few days, because that's not helping us. We're outside, we're in the field, we need information and we need that information now. And that is possible with you. And I hardly can imagine any other company delivering that service, but at that point, it is needed. It is needed. And that improves the situation tremendously for us.
Very good. Well, thank you for that input. So the most unique aspect of your recent testing has been the use of virtual reality or VR eyeglasses. What first sparked your idea to combine such technology with protection testing?
I'm a play kid. I'm an engineer. I love to explore new technologies. I'm having that eye on this technology, I think, since the 90s, when the 90s first came up with this low resolution, very bad VR glasses. We all were very disappointed. I remember that during studies, but it started to develop. And when I realized 1 or 2 years ago, hey, this technology seems to be ready for a bigger market. It seems to be ready to deliver apps and more features than ever before. Before that, it was only connected to PCs. I thought, okay, how can I use it not only for watching movies? How can I use it in my professional field? And let's try it out and let's find a possibility. Maybe it's helping us, maybe it's helping me. in my daily work. Maybe we are all lazy. We all want easier workflows. So why not try it and find out?
Could you walk us through the practical setup? How exactly did the VR glasses interface with the Omicron CMC testing device and, of course, the test universe software during the actual testing process?
Question ahead, I'm allowed to mention which glasses I'm using?
Of course you can, but it's one example of many we can say, right?
Absolutely. I have two. I started with Quest 3 last year. It didn't really click for me because of some disadvantages. And then I wanted to try the Vision Pro, and I did. And I found out lots of disadvantages are solved there. There's more. We can talk about that later, but it's way better and way more usable in our field. So the setup, I played a lot with different possibilities. First of all, you know, the CMC needs to be connected to a laptop. This connection can be either Wi-Fi with a Wi-Fi dongle or with a USB cable. And the VR glasses are also connected to only Wi-Fi. There is some tethering USB cable. I never tried it because, of course, you want to have the advantage of walking around freely and roaming around. So the best thing for me so far works is to put the CMC with USB to the laptop because that's a reliable connection. There is no breaks. There is no problem. And to use a portable router, Wi-Fi router, to connect my laptop to it and to connect the VR glasses. And then you're good to go.
So while wearing VR glasses, what was your immediate experience with the second pair that you tried out? How did the 3D visualization of the system complement the data you were seeing, for example, on your traditional laptop screen?
I think the very first impression is, wow, you can never demonstrate that in 2D with the same effect. You have to try by yourself to really understand what that technology gives you and what it means. It depends a little bit on the setup and how you use it. You know, there's the CMC Swift app where you can connect directly to the CMC. That app is also available for the Vision Pro, so you can directly install it on the device, connect to your CMC. That's one thing. How I mainly use it is the main advantage of these devices we are never talking about. The main use case for me is you have an enormous screen in front of you. And if you know the software for like grown-up protection relays, there is a window after window, small text, and you have your 15-screen laptop outside with sunlight. And I mean, I have reading glasses, but it's still hard. And you put on the glasses and suddenly you have a screen that surrounds you that is so enormous that you can see everything, that you have a gigantic desktop in front of you where you can put things, but you can connect to your laptop, you see the screen of the laptop, but on the same time as the apps in the Vision Pro allows you to put the manual of the protection relay, the settings form, like the E9, it's called in Germany, but gives you all the settings that you need to put in the device in another place. And you can still arrange those tiles and windows that you still see the reality, that you still see the relay in front of you. And that's amazing. You have nearly endless space for screens.
Now, when using the glasses, you're seeing, like you said, the entire screen largely in front of you. Are you using your hands at all to interact with that?
Absolutely. The Vision Pro is fully controlled by gestures. You can connect a mouse, you can connect the keyboard via Bluetooth, that's possible. It depends a little bit. Normally, still I'm sitting in front of the laptop, so I have my tracking pad in front of me, I have my keyboard in front of me, so I can easily type in things. You can do it all with gestures, but it's not as fast as a mouse, it's not as fast as a keyboard. If you want to enter some numbers, if you want to change some numbers, it's okay, but if you need to type your protocol or whatsoever, it's better to have the keyboard in front of you.
Very good. So how did the VR environment that you were seeing help you identify hazards or manage the complexity of the test more effectively than before?
To start with the hazards, there is actually one thing that needs to be clarified in future, and that is the safety situation of these glasses. Of course, you are willingly blinding yourself. First of all, you're not seeing the reality anymore, although it's really good. It's high resolution, but you only see you have like a tunnel view of reality. So what happens if the glasses suddenly switch off and you're standing on top of a ladder? So I would say the hazards, the question should go more in the direction of what do we need to make it possible to adhere the safety or the safety regulations and to make it possible to be used professionally. In my workflow, the other part of the question, it can really help, first of all, maybe not really speed up the process, but to give you an easier life. Once again, you have that big screen. We often come with a prepared parameter file, but in 90% of the cases, we need to adapt that. So we need to open the software. We also need to jump between a test universe from Omicron and the protection relay software to tweak things. And that is so much more easier with the glasses. That said, after a few hours, we're happy to take them off because they're still heavy.
They're heavy. And do you notice this new visual experience that you're having? Is it stressful in any way to you?
It really depends on what you're doing and the model. Let's say the Vision Pro doesn't have much glitches in bringing reality to you. The Quest 3 is a little bit more tricky there. So if you use it normal, the professional use, I would say there's no risk at all. If you go to YouTube and watch somebody filming a roller coaster ride in 3D, you might experience some light travel sickness. And that might stay for a while. Headache, I never had. Eye problems, so far, I never had. The Vision Pro has optical inserts that directly fit your prescription. So there is no problem with eyes.
Based on these experiences that you had trying out virtual reality, would you recommend that other testing or commissioning engineers explore its use?
First part of the question, would I recommend it? No. Or let's say it differently, not yet. You can see if you look at the device, it's not made for outdoors. It's not made for industrial applications. We are talking about rain, we're talking about humidity and everything, and these devices don't like any of that. So I think we need to wait for an adaption for the industrial application to really lift off. Where I see an application right now is really in training. We will see a big change in our trainings. If you want, for example, a training for the CMC, normally the people go on site and train people. With these devices, we can collect people in a virtual room. We see a 3D model of the CMC in front of us. Even if that guy who is training is alone, there is apps already that recognize the CMC by the 3D model, and they pop up remarks and explanations, where is what, how to use what. And that, I think, is in training. It's ready to be used. It's a great solution in the industrial field. I think we need to wait a little bit more.
What advice would you give potential users for their first virtual test?
I think the best is first try it out. Do not buy it yet. With the Quest 3, the amount of money is overseeable. Maybe you can buy it, but be aware that this is really, it's focusing on gamers, we have to say. The Vision Pro is another number, literally. So go to an Apple store, try it out. You can make an appointment. That being said, the Vision Pro is adapted to your face, to your vision capabilities, to your form of your head. So it's not made to be bought one for one company and then you reach it around. Also, unfortunately, it does not allow several multi-users to link to it. It's linked to one user, to one Apple ID, and a guest mode, which is kind of limited. But try it out, get a feeling for yourself, and then you can decide, okay, this is something I can use, or I expected something different.
Good. Now, you've recorded your experience with the use of virtual reality glasses and posted them in videos on your LinkedIn channel to demonstrate the use of them. And I understand you will also be talking about your experience at an upcoming Omicron event. Could you tell us more about these?
Absolutely. The main videos are on my YouTube channel. Remark here, unfortunately, for the English-speaking listeners, this is a German video, but YouTube also offers nowadays very good subtitles that are translated, I think, by AI. For the Omicron event, there is, I think, Schutz und Leittechnik in Berlin this year in May. I will present together with one of your guys the technology. We will show how we use it, what we can do, what is possible, what is not possible. But we will demonstrate.
Well, I'm based in Berlin, so I'll be sure to see you there. It'll be interesting to hear your presentation and to actually see it in use. Now, Andreas, you mentioned the big potential of the use of virtual reality in training. In addition to training, what applications do you anticipate its increasing use?
I see what the manufacturer of these glasses are heading for. They are trying to make them lighter. They are trying to make them easier to wear. That is absolutely the right direction. And I see that in a few years, but I can only oracle about that. What I see right now is for our field, for the smart grid field, I would say there's two things. There's the trainings and there's support. The support can be really enhanced by these glasses. Basically, you can send out somebody who does not have the deepest knowledge of the protection relay. He stands in front of the device. The support sees what he sees. He can even blend in some more help for him, how to interact with the device. He can even connect the protection relay and see the parameters via the software. So that is clearly for me two applications that I do believe will come as soon as the glasses fit, the form factor of the glasses fit the application.
So what are your personal plans or the plans within your company to continue using virtual reality? Will you continue to experiment with it?
Absolutely, because it's a field that is still like the app universe around these products are still developing. Every few days, there's a new app that you can try and check if it suits your application or not. I will continue to use it. That said, I also have testings where the glasses stay at home from the very beginning, but at half of my tests, I take them with me and they can be a great help. Even if you just, if it's raining and you can sit in your car comfortably in your chair and operate the CMC, hopefully protected against the rain with something, that is already an advantage. If you're outside with 0 degree or minus degrees and you can sit in the car and operate the test, that's amazing.
Interesting. Very good application there. Well, Andreas, thank you for your time and for sharing your insights into the use of virtual reality glasses for protection testing in this episode of Energy Talks.
Thank you very much, Scott. It was nice being here. It was interesting talks, and I'm looking forward to see you in Berlin.
Very good. Thank you. Me too. And a big thank you to our audience for listening to this and other episodes of Energy Talks. We always welcome your questions and feedback. Please send us an email to podcast@omicronenergy.com. Omicron has several years of experience in power system testing, data management, and cybersecurity, and offers a matching solution for your application. For more information, visit our website at omicronenergy.com. Please join us for the next episode of Energy Talks. Goodbye for now, everyone.